Oh, without him I can do nothing. Oh, without him I would but fail. And without him I would be drifting. Can you sing that with me? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, hear him today and don't turn him away. Without him, how lost I would be. Let's sing one more time. So without him, you can do nothing. And without him, you would but fail. And without him, you would be drifting just like a ship without any sail. Sing it with me now. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, here. And don't turn him away, Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Be seated. I've done something a little unusual tonight. I just come in my jeans and in my regular clothes, which I don't ever remember doing that, but one time in my whole life, my services. I remember years ago, I was a real young fella. I come in off of the road. I'd been somewhere, and I was due to minister that night in the church I was pastoring. And I didn't have time to change, so I determined that I was going to go to church. And in doing it, I just went on just like I was. But for some reason, I felt to come on anyway tonight. Now, you know, the Bible said, "Great is the multitude of his thoughts." Great is the multitude of his thoughts. And how beautiful, the Bible says, is the multitude of his thoughts. And in our lifetime, we deal with three different dimensions of life. And we deal with three different minds. One of those minds belongs to God. One of those minds belong to men, and another mind belongs to Lucifer or Satan. And we deal with all three of these minds. And our mind is in the feminine perspective. Lucifer's mind and God's mind is in a masculine perspective. So that means there's a conception of heart. Whereas Paul said, "I travail till Christ be formed within you, if you have conceived of the seed of Christ." John said, "The seed of God remaineth in you, and you cannot sin because you're born of God." So when you're bringing forth the image of God, there's a travail on the minister's part. And if you do conceive of God, then your mind begins to transformate. And as the child forms within the womb, so does the mind as to Christ himself begin to form within you and begins to transformate your mind into the mind of Almighty God. And your spirit and God's spirit becomes one spirit. And then you become eternal. And then this is made manifest in your mortal genes, and you become immortal in your body. Immortality sets in. For there's a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And as we have borne the image of the earthly as to the natural, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly as to the spiritual. And in this, within ourselves, or that is to say, within the inner man, within the body, we groan. Groans that cannot be uttered. The spirit knowing the mind of our hearts and spirit, it searcheth our heart and spirit to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we find ourselves groaning because there's a continual warfare, and this body is like a pest house. Through the human senses, Satan is to demon spirits and Lucifer in the world, controlling the world, having the preeminence, is always fighting with us in our thoughts. And it creates a continual warfare. So then we groan within, Paul said, not that we desire to be unclothed, but rather clothed upon from heaven with our house. Our new house. That is, we don't want to get rid of our body, our spirit depart from our body, but we want this body to be swallowed up as mortality, swallowed up by immortality. So then, being clothed with the garment of God, we're not found naked, the Bible said, in that day, whereas he will say, you're naked, as he told Adam and Eve, you're wretched as to wretched generation, and you're blind. In that the Bible said, ye shall not see when good cometh, for you are blinded by the ignorance of the intellectual tree of knowledge, which is within you. So these minds are constantly going. They never stop, day or night, even in your dreams. Oh, they're constantly going, like a computer that goes and goes. And depending on the program that you put in there as to what you come to be in your lifetime. And Satan, having stolen this body, has put the wrong program in and has taken this body, which was made to be the wife of Christ, the Spirit. And him, Satan, that is being Lucifer, being an angel also, but a fallen angel, has taken it, and him being a spirit or a mind of darkness as to the tree of knowledge, has projected darkness, which is called education, and the educational system of the world as to the tree of knowledge, to the world of carnality and academics. And he has projected this through the body to captivate the body, to get control of the body, and to set him up a kingdom by intellectual carnality, that he might reign as a king and control the entire world through diplomacies. So we are always striking at the old serpent head, always striking at the intellectual head, which means that you are born with this when you come into the world. Your spirit, through the fall of Adam in you, there's the sentence of death, and your spirit is interwoven with that thing from your birth. And the Bible teaches it from your very birth that you're contrary, even as a little child. You have to be under tutors and be continually corrected. And even though God does not impute sin unto you, because there's no knowledge of it until you come to the knowledge of right and wrong, and then you have to be baptized for the remission of sin, or then you go into the lake of fire. So in that we see this, we realize that as Adam lost his wife to Lucifer and the tree of knowledge when he told her that she was naked, so has Satan done the same thing to you. He has done the same thing to God, and God has lost his wife, in that the Bible said woman is made for man as to his glory, and man is made for God's glory. And in that the woman is not without the man in God, nor the man without the woman, then they, along with the children, are the glory of God. The Bible teaches that the body is the Lord's, and it's to be glorified as to his glory radiating within us, and we reproducing his image. For the Bible said, who shall declare his posterity? For he was cut off in the midst of his days. He did not have a chance to declare his posterity. So as the ministry, we're here to declare his posterity, that there is a continuation of it, and of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. So when we come to this, we realize that something has happened, in that Lucifer has stolen something that doesn't belong to him and has set himself up on the inside. And to keep from having to destroy the body, God has made an atonement in his foreknowledge before Adam and Eve was ever created, because he foresaw the fall and he put the blood on the seat of the atonement, a mercy seat, in their behalf, and he slew the lamb in his foreknowledge and wrote our names down as the elect and the predestinated in the Lamb's book of life. So in this, we are saved and we are secure and we are predestinated, or our destination is predetermined before we're born. And these things are given to us in the foreknowledge of God while we're yet in our sins. And he hath saved us while we're yet in our sins. Being saved then by the blood of the Lord Jesus, while we were yet in our sins, how much more secure are we now that he hath reconciled us unto himself by his blood, offering up the very body of the Lord Jesus. So, when we see the love of God and consider these things, we know that by foreknowledge, we always was, we are, and shall always be the wonderful sons of God. Where was you, Job? There back when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God leaped for joy. That is in the foreknowledge of God. So when we consider these things, we know that God made an appropriation to take care of us until he could redeem us back. And having brought that sacrifice at Calvary, he hath now made manifest his foreknowledge, redemption, or predestinated purpose, in that the Bible said he purposed these things in himself before the world ever was, and brought them to light at Calvary, having predestinated us in the Word or in Christ, that predestination unto eternal life and foreordination unto election by foreknowledge is altogether by Christ, and being preordained in Christ, that if you just take the outlook, I'm predestinated, come what may, I'm going wherever I'm supposed to go, then you're foolish, because you will go to the lake of fire. So then it's a predestination according to your own sovereignty as to what he saw you would do in your day, when the gospel come to you, as to the way you would relate to it and conform to it, because predestination unto life is in him. You are predestinated in him, or in the Word. And God has preordained that we conform to the image of his Son. So then, if you're walking in the Word, or you follow the Word, then you're in him. And that is predestination unto life. So these things being predetermined, we'd like to comment on them. Just a little bit here. I started to make reference to a scripture, but since I'm already talking, I just like to comment just a little bit on these things. And maybe if I just take my time and talk with you a little bit, maybe we can say something worthwhile. God doesn't get in a hurry, and when the minister gets in a hurry, then God, he doesn't do the talking. So the Bible said, be still and know that I'm God, that is still in your spirit. And sturdy to be quiet so that you can quieten down in your spirit. For God moves like a dove. And as is in the days of Elijah, the fire rent the mountain. All kind of things happen, but God was not in all the noise and the jumping and the hollering and whatever, as we say. But then when Elijah was by himself in the cave, a quiet, small, still voice said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" So then this is where God talks to you in the quietness of your bedroom. And the Bible said, go into your closet, close the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, so then when we take up our little subject tonight as to say something, as to teaching on this, let's look at the garden for just a minute and consider what happened. First of all, we find the problem come in when Satan tells them that they are naked. And the reason I say that is because when God come, they said, "We are naked and we hid ourselves." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Which means somebody had to tell them because nobody was there but God. And there couldn't have been but one other person, and that would have been Lucifer through the tree of knowledge. Now, they were not naked. They had been put there. They were not naked. Yet they were naked as to what the eye would see. But they were not naked because God doesn't look on the outward appearance, nor does he judge according to the outward appearance, nor does the outward appearance have to do with anything. So they were not naked. They were covered with the illumination of the Shekinah glory of God. And Adam being covered with the Shekinah, that took care of Eve because she was taken out of Adam. And in that she was covered by the Shekinah, she continued to be covered by the Shekinah until she let her mind drift off on the tree of knowledge. And Lucifer, wanting to frolic with the body the way he does today, to turn people into sodomites and fornication and all the other things, he seized upon that body, which he does today in his lasciviousness, as evil spirits working within the body to corruption and to death. And in that he told them they could be gods, they got lifted up. And the Bible speaks then of Satan and speaks of Lucifer. And then it speaks of that there was the fairest tree in the garden. But when it lifted itself up, it defiled its beauty, indicating that Adam, who was the most beautiful thing in the garden, God likened his people unto trees, that this illumination that covered Adam made him glow like the sun. And Eve was partakers of this. But when he lost that illumination, when Eve told him that he could be a god, that the serpent had said he could be a god, he lifted himself up and then took the outlook that God was just trying to lord over him, as we say, and that he could be equal to God. And of course, that's what Satan said. He said that he would be equal to God and he would ascend into the heavens and he would make his throne among the stars. And God said, even though you do, I'll cast you down to hell. So this is the preeminence of the intellectual tree of knowledge. It's always the stride as a people, whether black, yellow, red, or white, to lord over the others and to be the preeminent. And they're always striving in the intellectual world to be the preeminence and to be the head of the tribe, or to lift themselves up in the ecclesia to control in a presidency or an office of legislation, or be a billionaire, or to be some kind of an attainer, whatever it might be in the world of celebrities. And knowledge puffeth up. And they're not looking for equality, though they use the people's right, as of today, the Laodicean church age, the people's rights as of today called a law. They know they're lying. They're not trying to get equality. They are trying to take the preeminence to rule over one or another. And the Lord very emphatically told the disciples when they wanted to call fire down from heaven and rule and said, let us set one on the right and on the left. He said, you're not to do that. said the Gentiles do that. You're not to do that. I came to serve. You're supposed to be an example and be a servant to the people and give your life for the people. I didn't come to be ministered to. I come to give my life and minister and as help to others. So then we see the tree of knowledge puffeth up, and the world is all puffed up by the bite of the serpent. Now, in this, when we analyze it and see these things, we realize then that they were not naked. They were fully clothed with the Shekinah, innocency, and purity of virtue in the mind of God. And that as quick as this other mind came in, as we said to you a little early as to the three minds, when this mind came in, it attacked the weaker species, which was the woman. This is why that I use the terms the way we do to try to illustrate it to you. See, it's very difficult to teach the church of today, the people of today. They have such a continual warfare, struggling with their thoughts. So I have to seize upon an opportunity just to talk. And when you talk to the people as a teacher, Paul said, I'm a teacher and a preacher, then it takes so long that you can hardly get into a subject because people are so restless. Satan makes them that way. But anyway, when Satan seized upon the weaker species, as he does today, then it indicated a spiritual type that Satan has seized upon the body, which is the woman, and has taken the woman, which is weaker than the spirit. We are made a little lower than the angels, which means weaker than the angels. And though man is made a little weaker than the angels, even the fallen angels can pray off of him. And then the woman is made a little weaker than the man. God hath made man weaker so that he himself as a spirit can take control of man's spirit like as to the feminine gender and make man's spirit one with his spirit that within God the man might not be the weaker species but might be the ruler of heaven and earth and own all things, for God gave the entire world and universe to Adam and made him the prince of the world until Lucifer talked him out of it and deceived him through the weaker species and took control through an intellectual thrust and bringing man down to a degraded way of life, even to that of a beast. That's why Jesus was born in a manger, to show that as to where humanity had fallen to. So then with this, he told them that they were naked. And in believing that, they automatically run headlong into the things of God because everything from God is based on believing. It's based on faith. And because of that, in believing wrong, everything went wrong. As a person thinks within their heart, so they are. And when he put something different in their minds, then it caused the woman to be taken into captivity. And through the weakness of the woman, which showed the flesh, she went and then overthrew the man, which indicated the male, which represented the spirit. Because Adam and Eve represented spirit and body, or God and man. So God, knowing that we couldn't naturally see the spirit, he gives us a symbol of it, so that we could see what had happened concerning him and how he was hurt. Like if somebody stealing your wife when you love her. So Satan took her and away he went. The way he took her, it wasn't that God couldn't handle the situation, but God can't look on iniquity. And the very moment that they went to the tree of knowledge, it allowed the spirit of iniquity to come in. And when it come in, he could no longer even look at them. There was no way he could have any fellowship with them whatsoever, except through the predetermined thing, which was where he slew the lamb in his foreknowledge as to an atonement so that he could communicate with man. Otherwise, there was no hope. And then this being a sovereignty of man, it had to be of his own sovereignty, or God could not make him a god. He could not force man into anything because he would have been a robot. And he intended for man to be the equality of God. Like when we see a third part of the Godhead smitten, like the Holy Ghost, the Father, the Son. When a third part of it is smitten, it is shown in the seals, and it is showed at Calvary, which we don't have time to go into these details, which we really would like to do that. But when it happened, it indicated that man had failed, because the part of the Godhead that failed was man. For man was a part of the Godhead. And he showed the rim of the sun, even Adam, who was a figure of him to come. And God had intended to make Adam God. But Satan got in. And in the conception of the wrong thing through the weakness of the flesh, no good thing within the flesh came. And the sentence of death was thus in man. Because the carnal mind is imaged with God, and God cannot subject it to him, nor have anything to do with it. Though we have right to all carnal things, yet we can never be carnally minded. We can never have those things on our mind. We can never go after cars and houses and lands, eating and drinking and buying and passions and all these kind of things. Though we have these things as to marriage and as to buying and holding and whatever it might be, and God withholds no good thing from us. But the thing is, once we get carnally minded, we lose all of these things. Because Satan has taken those things, and he savors the things that be of the flesh. So he is then in charge, and he sets himself up within us in the temples of God, showing himself that he's God, to control all things through the intellect, even the weather. So in that we see this, then they realized they were naked because they had lost their faith. And in losing their faith, they had violated the principles of God and lost the Shekinah. So from that point, God had to seek a covering for them. Later on, the prophets speak to them, and the prophet says, through the utterance of the Spirit, you cover with a covering, but not of me. That is, you've lost my Shekinah covering as the glory, as to the image in which I made you, for I made you in my own image. And that was the covering of your interspiritual man. And you lost that image. Because my nature was taken away from you, in that you emanated from that spirit of the Shekinah illumination, and you were in the presence of my nature, and you should have conceived of my nature as to the tree of life rather than the tree of knowledge. And because you made the wrong choice of your own sovereignty, now you're out of my presence, because I am the Shekinah light, understanding that is. And now you are out of my presence, and I have to give you a covering. So then the beasts were slain, and he put them on skins, or he made them skins, as we say. And from that time on, the blood offerings was there, even as when Cain and Abel offered their offering. So then they covered with a covering, but it was not a Shekinah light. Life was no longer within the Shekinah light. It was within the blood. And life today remains in the blood. And the blood is a beast era. It is the second dimensional era. And if we could go into it, we could show the second heaven and why it is the blood era and why they had to spill the blood of innocent animals all the way down through the Old Testament, why it was so necessary for them, and how it was only a shadow of or forerunner of that which was to come, whereas human blood had to be given, even the blood of the Lord Jesus, which had to be a different blood, because the first bloodstream was defiled as to an animal blood, and so then the second blood had to be that blood which was recreated as to a new blood cell in the womb of Mary, which the Jews rejected as rejecting Christ, who was the word as to the promise unto Abraham, made flesh or embodied, and will not find it until Revelation 14, when he appears on the mountain as their atonement of the Lamb and the new blood cell, and then they'll find the new life. All other life is condemned. Jesus condemned it and emptied the blood out at Calvary. And the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. When we see this, that great is the mystery of godliness. And it would take many days to expound a few of these things. But what I'm trying to get around to is that when Adam fell, he still had to be kept alive. God covered him with a covering. The covering was not the image of God. It was the image of the beast. And today, he traces its origin back to the beast. Scientists trace it back to the beast. Like a lawyer told me one time, we're just all beasts, he said. And tracing it back to the beast, then in Adam all die because the sentence of death was in the body. And Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" In that God had to keep him alive, there was no way that he could keep him alive to show what he was doing except by what we call the cosmo, or the cosmic energy. He had to switch man over from the quickening of the Shekinah energy and from the spiritual quickening to an intellectual thing as electrons or electricity. So man is nothing but an electrical spark. He is a molecule structure. And even at night, I have done it. I take off my shirt or something, and just if I have a certain kind of material on, when it comes off, the sparks will just fly from the hair that's on the arm. And he's nothing but an electrical spark. It has been denoted that down through the years, people sometimes just burn up. I've read where one would be laying in bed and all of a sudden their arm would turn into flames. Or maybe they were standing, I've read where they'd be standing waiting to catch a trolley and all of a sudden burst into flames. Or something would happen to their body, it's combustible. So then he had to switch them over to this that worked through the hypothalamus and bring the oxygen into their lungs, through their nostrils. So the Bible said the life of man, or his breath, which is in his nostrils. And that means he's nothing but a breath of life anymore. And it means that he is dependent upon his human senses for life or survival. And the only life he has is his human senses, which makes him a bond child or in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, and is placed on his belly as a serpent to eat of the dust all the days of his life. So he then has the poison of asp under his lips. So then Jesus said, "A generation of vipers, unless we prove ourselves to be the sons of God by new birth." So Jesus became the serpent and hang at Calvary. Even the serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness, that God might let Christ, the seed of the woman, the spiritual part, bruise that part which was the natural as to you and I. We who come through the fall, and those that came to show them on their belly, their head had to be bruised, their intellectual head. And to take the kingdom back today is to get rid of the intellects of the world and to overthrow the colleges and all of these things as to the indoctrination of that has left Christ out. So in this, Jesus had to have God forsake him and depart from him, because as long as the Shekinah was with him, he was the spiritual Christ, the Word made spirit. And he was the spirit manifested in the flesh. But when the Shekinah departed, he became sin, even your sin and my sin, that God might smite the serpent and end the trail of the serpent at Calvary. So that he might smite the head of the serpent, as Christ delivered the serpent and hang him on a cross, he smote his head with the thorns. And it was prophesied through the fall of the garden, "And the woman's seed shall bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent shall bruise her heel." So I said before that earth is the footstool and this body is down here. So the serpent is cast out of heaven, so he strikes at your soul, which is as your foot. So Jesus washed Peter's feet to show the washing of the Word. And when John saw him standing on the Isle of Patmos, his feet was like fine brass that burned in the furnace, to show that he had walked through the flames of hell in showing the soul and the purging. So then when we look at this, we realize then that God had made a changeover. Now the prophecy had come at Calvary, and the fulfillment was there. Because a woman doesn't have a seed, and yet here she has a seed. And the Bible prophesied saying, as to the Old Testament, that a woman shall come past a man, and behold, a virgin shall be with child. And of course, today they deny the virgin birth, because in doing so, they do away with Christ. That's all they have to do is change that one thing, and the whole plan of salvation is lost. Because if it's not a virgin birth, then it means that Jesus was born of man. And if he was born of man, then he's no more than anybody else. He is of the same seed, same blood cell, and that's death. For the sentence of death is in that blood or in that body. So then in denying this through the intellectual, it's a cunning device of Satan to do away with the virgin birth of Christ and to do away with salvation and the new blood cell. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Now, so then we've taken our time, just we won't be able to get in much, but maybe we'll get in a little something here on tape or something that might help you to get a start anyway in searching these things out. The Bible said the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. And this mind is another world. And it's the mind of God that's supposed to be in you. For it's not given unto the world to know the mysteries, but unto you it's given. Because it's another mind, it's another world. And as you come into this mind, it transformates your thoughts, which is but shadows of the tree of knowledge. And it eliminates it by bringing the light as to understanding versus intellectual reasoning. And the Bible said for you not to lean to your own understanding, but to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought, and present this body a living sacrifice to that mind, to let that mind swallow your body up to where you meditate in his laws day and night. So then when we see that he has been switched over to the cosmic energy, then we know then Satan has set him up a kingdom. And this kingdom is a quickening. Paul said there's nothing remaining but the quickening. For God is the judge of the quickening and the dead. And electrical force is a quickening force. And he set him up something by taking advantage through knowledge, being the prince of this world. Now the very days are evil. And this intellectual genius of his has brought the modern technology of the world. Though God has allowed it, for God has created all things, and he has his way in all things, and he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Can evil come to a city, and I have not seen it, saith the Lord? I have my way in the good and the evil. I work all things after the counsel of my own will, and I rule in the affairs of mankind. So then we know that God has done this, even when they come to America. All of a sudden, as concerning Benjamin Franklin or concerning the early settlers, then the discovery of electricity. And there it was, a simple little kite like a cross in the heavens and a little key on the string. And there the string holding to that, and then the lightning and pulling it down out of heaven to give you the molecular light as to the modernistic things of the United States or this beautiful America. But at the same time, you remember it was lightning. That is electricity. And in the clouds, it has been said by science that at times there's enough electricity to light a whole city through the flashes of lightning. So in tapping onto that, it fulfilled the scripture in the coming over of the Gulf, the great Gulf, as to the ocean. It fulfilled the scripture as to this new coming, as to show the type and what God was doing. It fulfilled the scripture where he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. And then we see these things in their allegoric forms. And we know for sure that something has taken place that we've not seen. We've not understood unless it's revealed to us. For God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent and made them revelations unto babes such as are willing to learn. And Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Seeing that you're babes in Christ, I cannot. You are yet carnal. There's envy, strife, and malice among you. But pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that God, who is the Spirit, may communicate with you. For there's no life except in the Spirit. And the carnal mind is at enmity with God because it's under the curse. Now, they had all carnal things in the garden, but it was not under curse, and everything was blessed to them. But when Satan took control, becoming the prince of the world, then everything is now under the curse. And everything that's under the curse now, you have no right to it except you seek God and the kingdom first. And the Bible said, in so doing, then all of these things are added unto you, that he will give you the desires of your heart and make you rich, add no sorrow, if you'll delight yourself in him. So in switching Adam over, then he become the prey of an intellectual power called Lucifer, who is the god of this world, a mind. And you're nothing more than an electrical spark. You are a quickening. You are a composition of vibrations. That's all you are. Every part, organic part, or component of your body requires a certain amount of vibrations. Every part of you has to have thousands upon thousands of vibration. And your sickness and whatever there is that happens to you, when they give you a pill, when they give you a shot, or they give you any kind of thing to go into your body, it is only elements as to a molecular approach, atomic, or that is to say electrons, neutrons, protons, or betas, or whatever you call them. See, this is just an injection into you because these are vibrations. It is a composition of a pill that's nothing but vibrations. And it goes into you and strikes a certain part of your body as to confront the germ or the hindrance or to move the middle wall of partition, which would take hours to go into as to show the three different dimensions as to why God has allowed this to the edifying of the church. But in this, we find then that we're nothing but vibrations. And God has so made us that way so that the spirit world can communicate with us because they communicate through vibrance. And witches communicate through vibrance. They communicate by the vibrations of your body. And in doing that, they can be bewitching. People can be bewitching. And they can go into that world. And in the Old Testament, God would have them killed. If there was any such thing as a witch or whatever, he would have them killed because they would communicate. Whereas when the Catholic Church came into power, it began to kill the Christians because they called them witches because they communicated, which was Satan doing that. But we communicate through the vibrance as to the quickening of the Spirit through the Shekinah glory of God. And it is an inward quickening as this Shekinah light being within us as to the day start dawning and coming out as a vibration to be made manifest in our mortal genes, that our mortal genes might be quickened to the extent that wisdom maketh the man's face to shine. It's like an electrical force. It comes through, and the Bible said it was with Jesus as the sun shining within his strength, and of course the sun being an electrical force and the cosmos being nourished by the sun, it's very evident as to what the Lord was trying to express to us in that he was the prince of life, and the sun, as we know, scientists say the whole world is dependent upon the sunlight, and should it go out, the whole world would freeze over. So then we're nothing but an electrical quickening. That's all we are. Now, in our first birth, if that's all we are, then we're just a breath of life and a good jolt, and the breath of life leaves us. Or if anything happens that hinders this quickening, then that means that we are dead. We're gone. The only life we have then is the five human senses, and the five human senses go out like feelers on a fish or an octopus. And you have eye nerves as to 22 conductive nerves from your eye to your brain. You have the hearing as to the vibrations, and you have the smell, you have the taste, you have the feel. And if your ears go out, you're dead that much. And then if your eyes go out, you're dead the more. And then if your smell goes out, you're dead the more. And then if your taste goes out, you're dead the more. And when your feeling goes out, you're dead, period. So that's all your life. It's just the feel. As to the quickening that makes you relative to the world, For the Bible speaks of the body, calling it the creature, in that it has fallen down to a certain level, saying that the creature also shall be delivered into the glorious liberties of the inter-sons of God. For now, beloved, are you the sons of God? That is, I'm waiting for my change. It'll be changed into this wonderful glory that's on the inside of me. And it's so being done now by transformation of mind from glory to glory, that it might be made manifest in my mortal genes. Through the tutoring and through the patience of the church ages, as God waits patiently and long for the fruit of the earth. So in this, we see that this makes your face to shine. It penetrates. It comes into the body. It illuminates you. And the Bible said concerning Stephen's, they could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake. And they beheld his face as that of an angel, which means illuminated. For angels are lights. And then Moses had to put the veil over his face because they could not steadfastly look at that which was beyond the veil. As to that light that Moses covered with a veil, they couldn't look at it. So they had to put a veil on to show Jesus the prophet like unto, which meant when he come, God would be within the veil. And the promise that God had made to Abraham would suddenly come as to the promised son. As to the time of the promise drawing near, which Isaac was a symbol of. And as to natural Israel, Isaac. As to us, Jesus. And so then when he come as a word. He come as a word. He come as the Spirit, as God, the Word, the Holy Ghost quickening. And then he became an embodiment as a promise fulfilled, the Word. And he become an embodiment and walked among men, and they didn't recognize that he was the promise. Am I what we could say about that tonight? We was talking to some of the brethren over the evening and spent probably an hour or more just on the one subject there of just what's happening to Sister Young and what's happening to the Frankie that was killed, as to the officer, the things that's taking place with the different ones that participated in that and in the funeral and what it has to do with today. We went down the line with these things to some of the brethren, a few of the brethren, and it is so beautiful, it is so fantastic as to look into the invisible world and see what's happening right now in this present age at the present moment that's concerning you and concerning I, that we might see the waypoints of life and that we might see, as Jesus said, always the things that our Father does. See, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Neither shall they say, lo, here is the kingdom, or lo, there. You will never see it through your intellectual stride. You will never see it through diplomacies. You will never see it in your lifetime. Though you eat and drink and ride and learn and study and whatever, you're ever learning and you'll never come to this knowledge of truth. It has to be revealed to you, for God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent to overthrow Satan's kingdom and made it higher above our understanding and knowledge than the heavens is the earth, and has revealed it unto babes such as are willing to learn. So then in this we see that there's no way that the world can get it, for it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto you it is given. That means that that body that is a molecular structure has to make a change during its lifetime. And this is the thing I try to point out to you so often. Do not take the outlook that you're going to go into another world. And when you get into that world, that you're going to stand before God to be judged. And that God is going to judge you and decide whether you've got enough good to outweigh your bad or enough bad to outweigh your good. And that he's going to reward you accordingly. And that he's going to either save you or reject you. All of that's heresy. Don't accept that and don't pay any attention to it. It is Bible that you will stand before the judgment of God. For the Bible said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And that everyone shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive in their bodies according to what they have done, whether good or bad. But you appear after this fashion. Judgment begins in the house of God. And the God of heaven is within his temple in the minister. And he is there to remit your sins or to retain your sins. And Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, and whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And as soon as you come to the knowledge of right and wrong, you have to be baptized in his name for the remission of sin, to repent and call on the name of the Lord Jesus that you might be saved. So judgment begins in the house of God. This is court, and this is the judge. And the sentence is coming according to the laws of God, as to his word. And you are the one that's listening. You determine your own faith by believing in what the Spirit is saying to the church through the minister, or you doom your soul by disbelieving it. And if you believe it, then you put it into practice, for your faith is made manifest by your works. And if you do not works, then your faith is dead, which proved you did not believe it, that there was no faith there to begin with as to living faith. So that means that you doomed your soul because you didn't practice what he told you to practice. The proof of the Spirit of Christ within you is that you will produce the fruits of the Spirit, having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof everlasting life. If you do not have fruits of holiness, then it means his Spirit is not in you, which is the Spirit of holiness. And if you have not his Spirit, then that means you're none of his. So just a few more little things here in the way of exhortation. But I want to point out again, we are a molecular structure, a molecular structure. And all we are is vibrations. And we communicate with the spiritual world by these means to the extent that Christ made us that way. And Satan being an angel, even as Christ is an angel, then that means that he took advantage and misled while we were like babies as to Adam and Eve. And this is why the Bible said that a woman should have a covering over her head. Paul spoke of this and said because of the angel she should have a covering. She should not cut her hair off. It should be upon the shoulders as to showing the government of God, as to the glory of the woman. Her hair is her glory. And that the glory of God is resting upon your shoulders as to the sonship of God. And that this is a covering, and that it indicates rebellion against your husband and against the government as this age where they're cutting their hair off. So he said that you be not naked as Eve was. Let there then be a covering of the glory which your hair represents as to the government of your husband. Because had Eve honored the knowledge of Adam as to the Shekinah illumination and had stayed in stride with Adam, she would not have went into the problems she did. But she got up from under the Shekinah covering by listening to another voice, which meant another mind, and the veil of intellectual death of darkness fell over her, and that veil remained, even as in the days it is shown as Rebekah went into the tent of Isaac, where the veil was moved. And they wore the veils in the old country to show that, and when they come to the new country, America, they done away with the veil to give a type that they had now come into the presence of Almighty God, and the veil of their intellectual reasoning, as from the old tree of knowledge, was eradicated, and therefore we are not within the constraint and the mind of Lucifer. So when she got away from that, she was in trouble because the Bible says that Adam was not in the transgression. He was a figure of him to come. And he was only subjected to the things of the world as to the disorders of life to protect his bride, just as Jesus was made sin to protect us, to come and search out the bride. So then a woman ought to have the covering on her head because of the angels, because that is to say, lest we be found naked if we reject the glory of God, which is our covering. If I don't have the covering of the glory of God, then Satan will find me naked as when Adam and Eve lost the Shekinah covering. So I have to be born to the Spirit and have this illumination of the quickening over my spirit on the inside, in that this is not an illumination as to the body as it was in the beginning, but that was only symbols as to God coming to the spiritual man inwardly and illuminating the spiritual man. Though the blood is on the seat of atonement, as to the seat of mercy and covering the whole world, it's only an illumination that will be done away with and take away all the rights to the medical, the healing, whatever. There is no such thing as healing physicians. There is no such thing as healing medicine. There never has been. There isn't at this moment, and there never will be. That's why right now it's getting to where medicine won't heal. That's why it's getting to where physicians tell you one thing and you find out they don't know what they're talking about when you go to another. Because we are now coming to the knowledge of God, and the only way that remedies are any good is those people that are willing to accept God and praise God for these things that God has given to give God the glory for it. And because the intellectual refuse to do that, then they're losing their healing medicines. And the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicine, because when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, there will be no mercy as to dispensational grace, so nothing won't heal. As a matter of fact, they'll not even have death to come and relieve them from their sufferings. They'll gnaw their tongues for pain, and the whole kingdom of the beast, as to the natural people being the beast, their kingdom will be full of darkness, which means intellectual ignorance, because there won't be any Shekinah light from the church as to the religious things of God. For Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And when he went away, he said, ye are the light of the world. And when this light goes away as to the rapture, then they'll be in total darkness and eclipse so far as this wonderful understanding of God. So make full use of it while you can. So have the covering, he said, as to the woman, which brings it to you and I as to the feminine perspective. See, stay under the government of God. For this cause, a woman ought to have long hair to show this. She ought to have a covering that is to show that she is not subject to the fallen angels. So when we have this kind of covering on the inside, which is the glory of God, which the woman's hair shows, being symbolic of the church and the man symbolic of Christ, when she has this covering, then the Bible said we are sealed. Grieve not that great Shekinah covering, which is the holy seal of God that is interwoven with your spirit as a safeguard and a garment. Don't cater to worldly lust and desire, and abstain from worldly lust that warreth against the soul, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust or desire thereof. So the Spirit has a Shekinah covering of the glory of God, and it's never penetrated. For the Bible said, you keep yourself and the evil one touch you not. And you dwell in heaven because that Shekinah is heaven. And you're interwoven with that inter-kingdom of the Shekinah on the inside, which is Christ. For Christ is the kingdom of God, and he is the glory of God. And when you're interwoven, you become one with Christ, and that will eventually transformate your mind and be made manifest in your mortal genes to a quickening that will take it away from the cosmic energy quickening and bring you the quickening of the change of this body, which will not be a molecular structure, but which will be an immortal body as a mortality of that where mortal is swallowed up by immortal. There's a terrestrial body. There's a celestial body. There is a body of corruption. There's a body of incorruption. So all flesh has corrupted its way before God, and now we have become the incorruptible through Christ. So with this, we find that we are going through a transformating of mind, that this wisdom may come out into our very genetics and cause us to be filled with the light of God as to the wisdom of God to change these bodies from a molecular structure. And we have to do that in this world through a new birth. And the new birth is the inner man that's sealed unto the day of the change or the redemption of the body, since the body is the purchased possession purchased by his blood at Calvary. I always sing these little courses. You're invited to come to the altar as always, and maybe you want to search your heart or do something about it. If this mind is not in you, then you're missing out. For the mind that you now have will perish with you. For God will destroy him with the brightness of his coming as to the intellectual genius of the world. And there will be no Einsteins to rule in the coming era. So, If you miss the mind of Christ, you've dishonored God. For he said, let this mind be in you. I want my body. I want my wife. I want her. I don't want the intellectual whoremonger to take her that took her through the fall of Eve. I want to restore her. I went to Calvary to restore her, to purify her, to do away with all the adulterous things, that she might come back a virgin and be my wife, a virgin body. That's what the Spirit went into as to the wound of Mary. And he's looking for a virtuous body, that there might be a divine conception of the seed of God, that Christ may be formed in your life through the transformating of your mind to the full measure of the full stature as to the birth of that child. If you're born again, you're born again in this life, in this world. You cannot get born again after you leave this world. There is no such thing as standing before God to be judged to see if you're going to get eternal life. There is no new birth in the world to come. You are born into the kingdom right now while you have life. And if you miss out while you now have the breath of life, you will never be born into the kingdom. You will never even see the kingdom. There is no such thing as a judgment to where you will have a chance to be judged thus and thus, and God will make the decision. That's heresy when people tell you that. So you need to be born again. Let's sing the chorus, I love him, friend. I love him. Can you sing that with me? I love him. All because that he first. While we sing these courses, the altars are open. And you should cherish these moments while the Spirit speaks to you. The Spirit of the Lord says, come. The bridegroom is saying, come. Let whosoever will come and partake of this water of life freely. And you should cherish these moments, because it won't be long. And the voice of the bridegroom will be heard no more within you. You can just drift through. Stay for a few days, spy out the camp, and then go on your way and be lost. We had a couple of men that come through not too long ago, young men. They come through the spy out the camp. One came at one time, another came at another time. And they decided to spy out the camp. So they spied out the camp. And I told them they shouldn't have done that. They went on their way, and both of them died as young men because God didn't like the spying. So don't be foolish. Remember, your life is at stake. You're not here to spy out the camp. You're here to listen to the Word of God and to be transformated into this wonderful era of new life. And if you don't do that, then go on your way, run for your life, and stay as far away from it as you can. Don't come and partake of the benefits of these people and take their goods and enjoy the things that God has blessed them with, and then be so childish and so foolish as to lose your own life. So while we're singing, you have a chance to call on God. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you have a chance to call on God. And you have a chance to transformate your mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And even as Adam lost the nature, and thus lost the image by losing the Shekinah glory, and found himself naked. Now ye that are born of God, ye have found that Shekinah, inner Shekinah glory, to cover your inner man and seal him in by the interwovenness of the presence of Christ, which is the glory and the covering of God. The prophet said, you cover with the covering. The Spirit spoke this through the prophet, saying, you cover with the covering, but not of me. That is, you haven't put my body on. You lost my image. And now I've returned unto you, Jesus said, to give you my image,
Therefore, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put his body on, his flesh on, his bone on. Have his mind. Take his blood, for royal life flows through royal blood. And this royal blood flows through your veins. And we are they that have the royal blood with the royal mind that brings us the royal body. So then let this mind be in you, and bring back the image that you lost. For we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Having borne the image of the earthly, so shall we then bear the image of the heavenly. As we are changed back to our originality, to find the lost identity in Christ, to be baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, that we be found not in the moth-eaten garment, but to be found bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that we might not be found naked, the Bible said, wretched and blind, but we might be clothed with the body of Jesus Christ, the garment that has been tried in the fire that passed through the flames of hell, so that you could have this garment. The sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, in the fifth seal, the souls under the altar crying out, how long? Within you there is a soul, there is a spirit, and it's crying out, how long, O God? How long, O God, before you avenge our blood upon them that dwell on the earth? And if we had time to go into that tonight to make it manifest and clear, you'd see what I'm saying. But nevertheless, this opportunity is here during the time that the blood is on the seat of atonement. There is grace. This grace is for everybody, which means during the time of this grace, Lucifer has climbed up into the upper lintel, that even the devil himself is in heaven by living within the human being and taking advantage of this grace that God gave through the free knowledge as to the blood on the seat of atonement, to preserve humanity till he could get those that are the elect to come out from among them, to be a separate people, to touch not the unclean thing, saith God, and then I will receive you. So it's very evident with the mind that you've got of corruption, evil surmisings, that you're abiding and abounding in death. But it is obvious that this is the mind, is the word of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And I will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. So, the mind of God is what brings us the right kind of thoughts. And in doing these things, as we come together, we save our souls and those that hear us. We save them by bringing them life. So tonight, as we talk with you, let your spirits go out to God and let your minds go out to God and consider the things that the Spirit is saying unto the church. For everybody shall not see this. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight. If you've not made the commitment to God, then let me invite you to make it. Make that great commitment. Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. If you've never committed your soul to him, Jesus said, Father, into thine hands I commit my spirit. So if you've never committed your spirit through Calvary by the denial and self-denial of the body as to death of the body, then I invite you to give your spirit to God, who is the great spirit, the invisible one, Paul said, whom I serve with my spirit. And let this wonderful kingdom of God come into your heart and seal you unto the day of the change of this body, that you might not face death. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And whereas the Bible says it's through the prophet's utterance that God looked down from heaven and heard the groaning of the prisoners and loosed them that was appointed unto death. And if you don't meet that appointment through Calvary as to the broken appointment, then you will face death. You will not go to sleep. You will die, which means your spirit will go into the lake of fire. You will go into the lake of fire, which is called the second death. And if you don't meet that at Calvary to the broken appointment with judgment, in that Jesus broke the appointment with judgment for you by taking our judgment as God poured out his wrath upon him. And if you don't meet that appointment where he broke it with hell, by his soul going into hell for you, and if you don't meet it as to the broken appointment with death and that his body went into the grave for you, then that means that you're going to be lost. And when death comes, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And death, the angel of death, will be waiting for you. And remember this, folks, you don't have to live to get old. You can die. They die at infancy. They die during their teenage. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands die as teenagers because they reason in their mind instead of submitting themselves to God as their spirit. They reason in their mind that they were smart and crafty and that they knew, and God took them in their own craftiness to show them that they were fools, confessing themselves to be wise. The generations of today have become fools in their own thinking when God told them not to lean to their own thoughts, but to bring every thought into subjection to his word, his will, and his way. So then tonight, let's accept God and let's think of him in that way as we sing these little courses and give God a chance to free our spirit from that old intellectual darkness of death. Turn my people from darkness unto light, Paul, to this wonderful understanding as to the faith which is within me, by which they're sanctified once and for all, as to the offering up of the body of the Christ. So while we sing together, let's lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight and ask God to come into our hearts. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand, lift up your hands tonight, and time shall be no more. Sing it again now. And time, the mighty angel lifted his hand to heaven to swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. And you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you stand as the great angel with your hands lifted up to heaven, ye are the ones that have the power of time and eternity. So once again, and time shall be no more. You're the ones that stand on the land and the sea. For you, part of you is within the spirit, which the sea represents. And part of you, the land, as your inner man stands, both in the spiritual world of Christ and within the natural world of the body. And declaring that you've come to the end of the world and that you are not a time creature. A time to be born and to die, and you did it all through Christ. And now you become eternal. And the world is at an end, and you're recognizing it. That the Lord saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven at Calvary, cast him out. And that he's not in heaven. He's cast out into the earth, and to be made manifest in Revelation 12 when war is in heaven. And the child goes up to the third heaven, and Satan goes out, and the woman goes into the wilderness. And here you, as the spiritual Jew, has already encountered that, already come to that, and are recognizing it by revelation, that inwardly you've been translated into the kingdom of God. Which kingdom came at Calvary? Well, the Lord and the prophets until John. Since that time, the kingdom has come, and the kingdom has been preached, and men are pressing their way into the kingdom. And your interspiritual man has been translated into the kingdom, the marvelous kingdom of God, to be sealed in while Satan went out of that heavenly perspective of the kingdom of heaven and was cast out into the body, which body has not yet been changed. We're in the flesh. There's no good thing. But God killed the body at Calvary to free you from that image. There's no remembrance of former things, that you might be the resurrected one. It's to the new body, and within your body dwells life, because you're holy in body, soul, and spirit through faith in Christ, as the great revelational thing of God as to the spiritual Jew. And you are they that dwell in heaven, having passed from death unto life. Death hath no more power over you. So at the time of your departure, death cannot take your spirit. It hath no power over you, for you've already passed from death unto life, and the appointment to judgment and death has been broken for you, because you have obeyed from the heart this doctrine, Paul said, that has been given unto you, that you might be translated into the marvelous spirit of life, even Christ, which is the fullness of the Spirit of God, or the fullness of the kingdom of God. And this is the beautiful day of preaching the kingdom, that people might enter into the kingdom and have everlasting life. And now the revelation of Jesus Christ has come to reveal to you as to the house of judgment, that you are free and that you made it, and that your attorney won out, and the prosecutor couldn't do anything, and he lost the case. And now you're justified in the sight of the judge by faith, delivered for your offenses, raised again for your justification. That death is swallowed up in victory. I thank God who always gives us the victory, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say hallelujah? Can you lift your hands up and praise Him for that freedom? Can you praise Him for that deliverance? You're the people that dwell in heaven, and Satan cannot get near your dwelling. He never defiles you. You're sealed, and he toucheth you not. During your whole life, though he prays off of the body, he never touches your inner man. You are spotless, a bride without spot, without wrinkle and without blemish, and God is coming back after you. You're His precious bride. You're His precious bride. And at the midnight cry, the virgins that had the oil were ready to go in. And the foolish virgins, though religious, did not make it into the kingdom. They had no light, and they were in the intellectual darkness as a charismatic order of the world, and as a denominational stride in the world, and had not come to the all of revelation. He that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna, which is the revelated mind of God. And I will let him sit down in the throne with me, if he overcomes as to the war between the body and the spirit, overcoming the body as to that intellectual reasoning, making manifest in this body the mind of Christ as the heavenly treasure, in the earthen vessel to be made manifest in your mortal genes. And with this, making this manifest, overcoming, I will let you sit down in the throne with me, for heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. And I'll let you sit down in the throne with me, even as I have overcome and have sat down in the throne with my Father. And he shall rule over the nations with the rod of iron and break them as a man would break pottery. That is, all of their rules and regulations shall be broken by your decision in the strong rule of the mind of Christ, which is the rod of iron. Lift up your hands and let's realize a new government has come. And as the Republican said, you're now out of the wilderness after all these many years. Can you give the Lord a hand? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. This thing that's happening in the Carolinas to Sister Young, if I had time to go into it tonight, you'd see so beautifully how it has to do with the crossing and the conquering of death and Jordan, and with the signing of the treaty between Jordan and Israel, Arafat being the threat. You would see how that it's been signed to make way for the woman to go into the wilderness in the middle of the week when the child is caught up to the throne, and how that it has to do with the conquering of death and that the end of the world has at last come, and the end of the church ages is its last year. And the reason that you that don't see it is because you've never been born again, for your eyes to be enlightened to comprehend the heights and depths of this wonderful thing of God, to see into the spiritual world, to see what the great Heavenly Father is doing. And so then you're blinded by the ignorance within you and shall never see light. But you that are the children of God that can see, though you may see but little, it still proves that you are born and your eyes are gradually coming open, even as a babe in the spirit desire the sensual milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. And go on and grow up, for the meat belongs to the strong. They have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and between evil. Let's sing another little chorus together. Lifting our hands up and our hearts up to God, knowing that the end of the world is here, let's just worship the Lord for a few minutes. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, Holy Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete as I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing this with me now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven doth rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour, I need thee. Sing that with me. And I need thee now, precious Savior. For oh, how I need thee. Sing it like this now. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your hearts once again, so let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and oh, turn him away. Just lift your hands and close your eyes.
And while you've got your eyes closed, the Bible says, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith that cometh by hearing of the word. For the latter times they shall depart from the word, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And getting past feelings, they will follow after doctrines of devils and be rejected of God. There shall be a famine for the hearing of the word in the latter times. And men will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears and being turned over to reprobate mind, being sent strong delusions. They will be caused to believe a lie and be damned. So today, take heed how that you hear, and give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest your mind still be suspicious and in corruption and be conniving and jealous. For as Paul said, among you is jealousy and envying and strife and malice. Are ye not yet carnal? Isn't that the carnal mind of death? Don't you still abide in death with your thoughts? So tonight, while you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, I'm going to let Brother Taylor pray and dismiss you. Remember the services. Come back to service. Invite somebody with you. Do something for Christ in your life. When you commit your works to the Lord, then thy thoughts shall be established. For without works, you don't have a vision. And without a vision, the people perish. So if you want your thoughts to be established, not be a wandering star for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever, then do something. Commit your works to God, not just working out on a job all the time, but find something to do for God, or share in the load by laboring that you might have to give. Do something for God and make your life count for God. Don't just be a bum at Bethlehem or a drifter at Bethlehem or a problem of Bethlehem or a wandering star of Bethlehem with evil surmising and all of these things. But clean your mind from the filth of the flesh and be anchored in the sweet thoughts of humility. Humility goes before honor, pride before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. Rid yourself of the filth of the flesh and do away with that body of death. And don't esteem its faith or its body or its intelligence or anything that it owns as to the carnal goods of the world. And don't judge anybody to know them after the flesh as to their intelligence, brilliance, and diplomacies or their wealth, but to know them after the Spirit as to what they know about God and what they're doing about God and how much they talk about God and the things of the spiritual world, how much they're anchored in God, else you be a reprobate and be cast aside during the time that God's doing these wonderful things. So with your eyes closed and your hands lifted up, as Brother Taylor dismisses you, remember us in prayer.